Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Romanian churches in Illinois file a petition to the United States Supreme Court. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is our case in Illinois involving two Romanian churches. The first one is Elim Romanian Pentecostal Church, and the other is Logos Baptist Ministries. Romanian pastors, mostly Romanian congregants, they came from communist Romania that was ultimately infiltrated by the former Soviet Union. They've been there, they've done that, they've seen what happened in their home country, particularly with regards to religious freedom, Christians, churches, and pastors being threatened, jailed, and even shut down. And that's what they experienced, unfortunately, in 2020 in the state of Illinois. So this particular case, Holly, we represent them, and we just filed what's called a petition for review, or this is a petition to the United States Supreme Court, asking the High Court to take the case. It's the first church case ready for the court's full review. This is not an emergency appeal. This is not an emergency event that we're asking. We're doing the standard petition for writ of certiorari is what it's called, asking the High Court to take the case. The court looks at different kinds of conflicts that it needs to resolve, and this case certainly presents those conflicts. There is a 2-2 split at the Federal Court of Appeals, two Court of Appeals ruling in favor of churches, two Courts of Appeal ruling against churches, and at the lower level, even before you get to the Court of Appeals, the Federal District Court, which is your entry level trial court, there are now at least, and the number grows every week, 73 cases since April. Wow. I mean, that's just amazing. And that doesn't even count all your state court cases that have been decided and that are in the pipeline right now. So that is the conflict out there. There's a lot of interest in the courts, obviously. And this is a case that the Supreme Court needs to review. Now, there's two opinions, 3-0, at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals involving our Kentucky church case in favor of churches, both outdoor and indoor in-person worship. There's two cases at the Ninth Circuit, which governs the western part of the country, and those are two 2-1 decisions. So what we have are splits between those. Well, you even have two people in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in those two 2-1 decisions that issued very strong dissents that would have ruled in favor of the churches. So this is a case very ready for the Supreme Court to get involved in.
And, you know, I think it's important to note, I mean, his executive orders originally said no more than 10 people in a worship service, despite the size of the building. I mean, you could have several thousand foot square building and only have 10 people in a worship service. But yet you can feed people, you can give them job counseling, you can provide social services, but only 10 people the moment it becomes a worship service. And of course, we started to take him to the Supreme Court before, and he did a quick about face. There was no ruling in that situation, but he did a quick about face, realizing what was going to happen. But without a court decision, he could quickly do about face again and put back his orders.
And he wants to, because when we argued this at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, he was asked twice, the Attorney General's Office for Governor J.B. Pritzker, the Illinois governor, was asked twice, would you come back to the court before you decide to ultimately change? No. Do you promise not to go back to this original restriction? No. So they want to be able to go back. In fact, they said, well, we've got to be dynamic. The governor needs that freedom, basically wants the court out of the question.
Right.
And has the freedom to be able to just from one day to the next issue an executive order with no legislative input, no judicial oversight, and boom, there you are. And that's what he did. So there's two forms of discrimination in this case as well as in all cases, and you highlighted one. There is the internal discrimination, And there is the external discrimination. Internally, here really, I think, illustrates the problem with these orders. Internally, the church can do non-religious activities, non-religious gatherings in the same building with many or most or all of the same people.
So you could have hundreds of people in the same building doing that.
Non-religious services. So what are the non-religious services? It's feeding, so you can feed an unlimited number of people. There's no 10-person limit. You can shelter them, meaning that you could keep them overnight.
In that same building.
In the same building. So you could feed them.
Together.
Together. It's not takeout. You could then shelter them for hours overnight. And then you can give them counseling or, quote, necessities of life, close quote. That's not defined what necessities of life is.
But if you open the Bible or start to do a devotional or a religious service.
Yeah, then it changes to a religious gathering and the 10-person limit kicks in. And a violation of that 10-person limit then will subject you to sanctions and charges.
So this is not really about any virus.
So here's the point. You can feed an unlimited number of people, but as soon as you have communion, the limitation kicks in. You can shelter an unlimited number of people, but if you have a 1 hour or 2 hour worship service, the 10-person limit kicks in. You can counsel them on how to find a job, how to apply for unemployment benefits, disability benefits, any other kind of non-religious counseling. But as soon as you counsel them, you open the Bible and you share a sermon or a homily regarding finding eternal life, giving your life over to Jesus, having praise and worship, having prayer. That becomes a religious gathering. The 10-person limit kicks in. Same building. The only difference is the content of what you're saying. Non-religious,
right.
No limitation. Religious, limitations.
And don't forget, this same governor participated in these outdoor protests with thousands of people. So it's very clear he has a hatred of the church.
Yeah, and so that's part of your external restriction. On the external restriction, you have comparisons between other non-religious gatherings outside of the church versus the gatherings inside the church. So if you have congregate kind of gatherings outside the church, whether it's in the big box centers, the grocery stores, the laundromats, the other kinds of non-religious venues, even in this case, protesting, mm-hmm. where you have thousands of people side by side, back to back, singing and chanting, no social distancing. And the fact is there's an unlimited number of people. And even though that is in violation of the order, the governor says, and the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, says, go for it. Mm-hmm. You got a First Amendment right. This is a historic moment. So we want you to exercise your First Amendment right. Well, what about the First Amendment right that is enshrined in the Constitution, not only for freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, which applies to churches, but also free exercise of religion, that doesn't apply to just your general assembly if it's not religious, and also the government's prohibition on establishing a church?
But if you have an anger toward religious freedom, there's the it's very clear, which he does, this is what happens.
Yeah, and so he encourages thousands of people to gather and protest. He even walks with them. There's a picture where he's walking with the protesters holding a sign. It's one of those signs that are on a pole, and people are walking behind it, and he's right there with them holding and walking forward with this sign.
And he's speaking to them with his droplets going out or whatever.
And so it does the mayor, Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah.
But on the case of this church, of these churches, they towed the cars for 9 blocks around the church to aggravate the neighbors and get them mad at the church. It didn't work. Then they sent out 5 police cars to block the private parking lot of the church to stop the members from dropping off for an evening service. That didn't work, even though they had to go for blocks in the cold rain and walk back. And then they sent out, they charged him with disorderly conduct for having more than 10 people. Then they sent a letter from the public health department. Then they sent a summary abatement letter from the health department saying that summary abatement would issue. That means that they could destroy the building with no notice and no judicial process.
But these people are from communist Romania. That will not stop them.
That didn't stop them because, you know, once they made a decision to open, they said, you know, we shut down because we didn't know. But then it became very apparent the church needs to reopen. And they've faced this in communist Romania before. And that's why they came to America, the land of the free. They're not about to sit back and let America go the way of communism. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Pray for this case before the U.S. Supreme Court, lc.org. You can also go to lc.org/churches.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.